Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called White Crystal Mirror, and it is the 12th day of the Blue Hand Wave Spell, and it is Magnetic Moon Day 25. We're getting really close to the end of the Magnetic Moon, and we're getting close to the end of the Blue Hand Wave Spell. And let's start by addressing, though, the 13 moon year. Just some refresher reminders. I took a half week off here in the land of getting things done in the blue hand wave spell. I didn't go on a beach vacation or an exotic trip on an airplane. I simply have been painting the interior of my home for the entire magnetic moon. And I'm totally probably intoxicated from paint fumes because I'm really sensitive chemically. So not so sensitive that I can't be around paint fumes, but definitely like spaced out and adrift in my own thoughts, reverie. So I'm getting a lot of painting done, and I don't think I'm getting a lot of communication with the outside world done. Very mystical in my own world, but I wasn't able to reach out to the listenership. I apologize. I thought I would come on back on White Crystal Mirror, which is even a day later than my usual Sunday podcast, so that I could own the sacrifice of myself or my podcast that happened in this last run of the Blue Hand time. I love that. I love that I could not put it together. The other information that I find interesting, just in case you're tracking me and my efforts here to create a global audience for the natural time astrology cycles, is that they're building a house like 6 feet from mine, and they're building it by hand. That's very apropos to our wave spell, meaning they're using power tools, but they're not using a crew of men. They're using a couple guys. So it takes really long. Like, it's a prairie home that they're, you know, constructing 2 centuries ago. And then they started working at night. So they start at 7:30 in the morning and they go till it's dark. So that just killed the podcast fever, because I can't do this when there is hammering and table saws running. I can't. It's too embarrassing. I'm supposed to have a professional ambiance. So I went for the unprofessional absence over the unprofessional sound problems. Here we are. I am speaking late at night. That's the other option, is just to outlast, you know, the length of the day when they have to go home because it's dark. But then I'm usually pretty tired. But anyway, my personality structure aside, my sensitivities accounted for, I want to just address the magnetic moon as it winds down, because I think that it's the most important thing we can talk about, because I'm going to have to talk about Trump. So let's totally wait. Let's wait as long as possible. The magnetic moon is the first 28 days of the year, and there's 13 moons in a year, and there's always a wave spell in the year's formation, and we recognize the wave spell from the 13 moon year, but also the 13 days of our wave spells. So we kind of learn what these tones indicate. Magnetic means we draw our purpose to our beings from our fate, karma, Godhead. We attract it. We are magnetic, and our fate comes to us and presents itself like, hi, I'm your fate for this wave spell of 13 days or 13 years. And I just said that. It could be 13 years. Like, we're in a magnetic year for a 13-year wave spell. That's just really hard to wrap our heads around. So let's hold on. 13 days, 13 moons, sometimes 13 years. But we attract our purpose, and there is not meant to be ego in that. Like, this is my purpose for this year. A lot of you who listen know that I say that repeatedly, but I think it's because it's foundational. It is absolutely one of the deep essences of natural time or the Mayan code, that we don't decide what we're going to do with our lives. We try. I think the best way to decide what to do with your life is to pay attention to what you're being shown to do with it. And what's great about the Dzogchen or the 13 moon year, both, is that they will give you the language of symbology so that you can see the signs that you're being shown and then detect or intuit, interpret what your purpose is, what your function. And it's always going to be for a time frame instead of forever, or instead of when you decide. Instead, we are letting our egos acquiesce to the configuration of natural time cycles, which are waves that build to a peak and break, and we roll with that. So if we can sort of learn about natural time and then ride its tides, its wave formations, then we're in harmony with something organic and greater than ourselves. And, you know, we're passengers, so we're not always just like trying to drive ourselves forward and make an impact. You know, we're instead being with something that has a lot of forward momentum and impact, but it's not us. You know, we're not the natural force. Natural forces surround us, and we find our way into union with that. So we attract our purpose in the last 25 days, with a few more to go for the entire year, by just witnessing like what came into my life. You know, it started, I think, in the cosmic moon of last year, because that's what the cosmic tone does. It bridges the wave spells. Today, just jumping over for a moment to the white crystal mirror, is kind of the summation or the finale day of the blue hand wave spell. And tomorrow, when we're in blue cosmic storm, is more of a link or a ceremonial moment, a moment perhaps of inaction between large actions that happen in the waves formation. So we had the cosmic moon, and I think it kind of summoned some of what we're attracting as our purpose for this year. And so maybe you can feel into not just the last 25 days, but add a couple weeks onto that. And let me guess that some things that have come up in this new moon of this new year are really obvious big picture ideas. You know, I want to do this. It's big. And then others are more mundane. You know, you're just sort of like, oh, I'm supposed to maybe busy myself with this, not big plan or action, but this everyday kind of attitude. You know, I'm supposed to be, I can tell because I'm attracting it, that I'm going to be more mellow or I'm going to be more fired up. I'm going to take risks. I'm going to scale back and take fewer risks. Like, you'll feel the tone of this magnetic moon having some ideas for you that are subtle and ideas for you that are really, really grand. And we have time. We have time for this to all unwind and display itself like a peacock. It's going to take this whole year for some of these things to come into being, or you're going to work diligently on some of them throughout the whole year. Some things are going to fall away, kind of disappear and resurge way down in the planetary moon. And then what I said, sort of slipped in earlier, it's the magnetic moon of a magnetic year for the next 3 days and for the last 25. So it's a doubling of information, you know, of magnetism. That charge of attracting our purpose is doubled, but so is, you know, the object or the attitude that is coming towards us magnetically. So I would say that after this magnetic moon, things are going to kind of split off a little, and the magnetic year is going to take a back seat in our thoughts. We're going to flip to the lunar moon, the second moon of the year, and we'll just kind of be reminded, like, it's the first year in a cycle of 13, but we'll be, when we're in the present, because of the calendars, the Zolk'in and 13 moon calendars draw our attention to the present moment, because it's enriched by all this symbolism, all this ritual, all this request that we pay attention to certain totems each day. That's really beautifully present moment centered. And then we lose track of, like, oh wait, this is a magnetic year. And that's good. We see it at the very beginning and at the very end powerfully. As transits matter, they draw our attention to change. But we're just going to be absorbing, attracting our purpose for, you know, all of the year. And I don't think that should be the first thing we think about every day. Like, what's my purpose for the next 12 years? This is what I said before, and I think I'm being sardonic. I'm being sassy. I'm being a know-it-all in the blue hand wave spell, where that's the shadow energy. But I think we're going to be thinking about climate change for 13 years. It's going to become more and more obvious that that's where we have to place our attention. And so this first year, my guess is that each one of us will have purposefulness on our own, you know, what we're attracting for our own 13-year wave spell. But culturally, in the human species, I think this first year is going to be showing us day in and day out that we have a dynamic of major man-made evolutionary change on the planet that's going to cause harm where there's not adequate food produced because of the heat surges or the general meteorological shifts. So that's me just sharing, like, I'll bet we think about that every day this whole year if we're, you know, kind of paying attention to the signs and the symbols and the headlines and to things that are being you know, pushed out of the way by other headlines, the frenzy of our cultural upheaval could distract us from what we could find every day, you know, tales to tell about, you know, the polar bears that have no ice to rest on. And then over here, there's like a human migration because the farming is all impossible. So like those headlines are there every day if we look for them. Okay, if doesn't everyone know that already? I apologize. I'm not like inventing this. I'm not real radical when it comes to my own personal prophetic messaging. Pretty mainstream. Then let's go over here. Here being, hello, Zolk'in. I haven't seen you. I haven't talked to you in a while. Although please know that I think about natural time stuff on my own a lot. So I've been noticing it's the blue hand wave spell for the last 12 days. And this is a good day to podcast because in the old fashioned time of Jose Arguelles, when he was, you know, initiating this and lecturing, having classrooms of disciples, he would recommend that we all gather on the 12th day of every wave spell and the crystal day for gathering to talk about what happened for each of us in the wave spell's motion. So I am happy to podcast from that, to speak from that. You know, what happened these last 12 days of blue hand? We're kind of in the conclusion here, the wind down for sure of this wave spell. And I mentioned Donald Trump because if you listen to the last podcast, you know, it's his wave spell. And for each of us, it's interesting what happens when it's our wave spell. It's like home base or the part of a game board, you know, like a board game has like little, you circle around and then you get to your comfort zone. That's where you originate from, your monopoly holdings that are safe. And that's kind of what I think our wave spell can be like. Like, ah, now this is where I belong. This is me. This is where I get to stretch out and I get to watch the world bend to how I am organically. And the rest of the time, when it's not my wave spell, I have to be part of the bending. And so there's a kind of way that feels like wish fulfillment. Like, oh, I'm glad that right now it's kind of like where I live and the outside world is the same as my insides. So I was just curious, like, what would happen when the outside world matched Donald Trump's insides. And I didn't think it was decisive. There wasn't one major thing. It wasn't terribly worse than any other time. I can't estimate if it, for him, it was like a win. These 12 days were a win from his perspective. I mean, there were some headlines that indicated his ability to win because he litigates everything. So he had some stuff tip into his favor, but I can't tell you that it was decisive, and I think that's fine. It could be nuanced. Nuanced information makes us dig deeper and takes us out of extreme thinking. So it's kind of nice that nothing like totally Trumpian took place in the Blue Hand Wave Spell. I couldn't isolate something and go, oh yeah, that time when it was Blue Hand Wave Spell, I mean, that was when it all went down or up. I think that's good because there is so much extreme thinking outside of natural time that it's good if we relax that and not be, you know, strung out by how polarized things are. So, but it's ending, and maybe that'll feel different. I also mentioned last time that, like, I'm guided by Blue Hand, and, you know, you can notice that I, like, was guided right out of communication, and that meant something to me. Like, you know, I love podcasting, and I'm grateful to do it. I'm grateful to talk about this easily and freely and believe someone's listening. But I also love not communicating. I love just being quiet. And I don't know how this really relates, but since I've been guided by this time, I've, you know, got some guidance. And one of the things I wonder about humans gathering together is how much of the time that we're together talking, are we just talking about other people? Because that's a horrible habit pattern of mine. And I started to realize that if I don't spend time with people, then I don't do a lot of gossiping. And I also don't really like gather a lot of information about people that I then hold to gossip about. Like, being a very introverted, not isolated, because I have 4 dogs. I have a lot going on, and I have ways that I bump into people wherever I go in a sort of small city that's full of buoyant, heart open cheer, where you can talk to anyone anytime and feel connected. But I think I'm so far on the outside of those, like, let's meet for coffee kinds of arrangements, that I think there's something fantastic about, you know, not using time in the day to talk about other people, you know, in the way that's not always denigrating, but just sort of like outside of experiencing the present, like so-and-so did this. I am nuts for that stuff. I find my way to do it even if I'm not talking to others. You know, we can do that on the computer. We can look and see what people are doing out in the world of the internet. But I'm just mentioning that 2 things. When it's your wave spell, try to look for those nuggets of direct, sound, understanding of self and how the world works, special messages for you. And then the other part, just that I believe, because the internet has made us such voyeurs to everything, that being on your own or outside of any social communication, social media, or direct socializing has some power. It's been purifying. And so that's about maybe the specifics from my perspective, but Blue Hand itself is probably something you can reflect back that you got a lot done in some way, or you know something that you didn't know 12 days ago that's important to know. Knowing, accomplishing, and healing are the fundamental words for Blue Hand. And I think that there's just, you didn't have to build something, you know. It didn't have to be manual labor, although you know that that word means using your hands. It just means it's something big, because it's notable, it's important, was completed, was accomplished. And I also, again, I think that there's augury that comes in every day of the Dzogchen, every way of the Dzogchen, every wave spell. But you got to use that word to know, the word to know that is associated with Blue Hand, to sort of assess, like, what do I know that I didn't know before? Sometimes I really want to give you guys examples, but I also don't want to make personal confessions on a podcast. I used to. But I just don't want to. But I mean, I have my version of that. Like, wow, I didn't know that I felt this way, but now I do. No, I know it. And I want to remember it, because the Blue Hand time, what we know is the purpose and service of the wave spell in our lives. So now hold on to that knowledge. Not like you can't grip it, but file it away or make it a headline in your own headspace. Like, I am that. Me, I'm an introvert. Like, that just keeps coming truer and truer. But that is only one of the examples of things I now know because of the Blue Hand time. We'll be shifting next in just a couple of days to Yellow Magnetic Sun and the Yellow Sun Wave Spell. In theory, I'll be podcasting on Yellow Magnetic Sun, and I really aspire to that. That's Wednesday, just a couple days from now. And that's when I'll talk about Yellow Sun, but not jump ahead and add another tribe dimension to today's talk. I can help you anticipate that tomorrow is Blue Cosmic Storm Tuesday, and it is a portal day. There's two blue storm portals. I was born on the other one. But, you know, that's a big ask for all of us to have a blue storm day that's also a portal. And then it's cosmic, enduring and transcending presence. Enduring and transcending the presence of a storm is where we'll be tomorrow. Today, just that reminder, because I said I think there's two epic truths that come from the calendars that can't really be found. Well, this is the one I don't think is found very clearly in other religions or spiritual disciplines. But the first one that I mentioned earlier in the podcast is that we attract a purpose rather than state or intend one when we begin a cycle. And then the other one is the concept of white mirror, or the sacrifice that brings us closer to divinity. I mentioned last time we considered white mirror together that I don't see a lot of other natural time teachers being honest and stark about what white mirror is, which is maybe not exactly the day that they did human sacrifice. Did they do human sacrifices every 20 days on white mirror? I mean, I kind of assume so, but if not, then they just are using this day to acknowledge the importance of that ceremony in their society, in their spiritual belief system, and in their rituals. But, you know, I don't see others walking the story of this is the day and the concept of celebrating something that makes people not like Mayan spirituality, and that is that they did human sacrifice. Let me jump over here for a second when I keep wondering, like, why is this hidden, Latino spirituality
have no play in either a new age world or in, you know, a broader, you know, pop psychology, pop psycho-spirituality world. Like, why did this not take hold? Why don't people like natural time? Like, lots of people learning about themselves. And I, you know, I figured out it's because who wants to have a daily spiritual consideration or look at astrology every day? People like to look every month or when Mercury's retrograde, that's comfortable. But every day, that's a lot. But the other thing is, I think I'm just blind to who wants to remember or honor that the Maya killed people. It seems so not just pagan or heathen, but just horrendous and mean and murderous. And I'm 20 years in or past, like, even blinking at that. I'm all, but I mean, those souls were set free to go be with the gods. You know, it's kind of like, are you suicidal or homicidal in your tendencies when you're bummed out? I'm totally lean suicidal. So when I get bummed out, I'm all, I wish I could get out of here. And it seems beautiful or lucky, you know, from that deep dejection that people got to go out of their bodies and be set free from this hellfire here on earth. And so that's kind of where I position myself, even though I'm not often dejected and I'm not so, like, darkly interested in escaping the planet. I mean, I can be, but just not in the last run of the last few moons or the last natural time year. I'm doing great. But I think that white mirror becomes the conundrum that I have muted in my own sensibilities. It doesn't shock me or horrify me, or I don't have a hard time understanding the importance of losing something in order to be closer to your own soul and the great soul that is God. So let's just, like, have these last minutes for me to talk fully, maybe repeat myself about white mirror. White mirror is awesome, like, that it's called white mirror, because whenever we have a white mirror day, we're going to see ourselves reflected in nature. We're going to see ourselves reflected in animals' behavior and then in a human behavior. You know, everything we turn to is going to show us an aspect of ourself, which is really connective. So white mirror days have all that going on. They are they can be heavy because we don't want to see our reflection of our dark side when that appears before us in some way. But they're not about only, you know, something that reenacts in an aspect of human sacrifice. It's a white mirror day. Let that be true as well. But the sacrifice part that I think is fascinating is just find the moment in your day today, or reflect back if you're listening later or a day beyond, you know, where did your heart break? Because that's how the Maya did it. They cut the heart out of a human with a handheld pseudo blade, you know, something that was carved out of flint. And they cracked through the rib cage and just severed the heart valve and held it up, and that was how the person died, which is fast and pretty painless, if terrifying to anticipate. But I feel like that's what happens when we get betrayed, or, you know, we feel a breakup in some way, our heart breaks, that we have that seizing. Oh, the torture of how our heart physically hurts. Our heart chakra, maybe more than the heart organ. And that is, to me, white mirror. And then the thing we know when we survive heartbreak is it can really transform us when we lose in love to be bigger than we were before that loss forced us to kind of let go of our grip and be more expansive in our trust and faith. Like, after we heal, we're stronger and stronger somehow. It's like bigger. bigger spirit. We can take up more space as our soul. So it's not just about like connecting to God when you love something and lose it. It's that, you know, you connect more to yourself. That's a kind of perfect parable, right? Is when we lose something, we're left with ourselves. And that is where our soul really builds and grows. And then, you know, you see that truism. And then we were, you know, so much bigger that we could be seen by that other person or that other opportunity. It came towards us. It's part of our magnetic purpose. You know, this is not the most important white mirror moment. When we hit the wave spell, there'll be more to say. But I just think white mirror is really one of the most groundbreaking parts of being with these calendars, and I think it's what prohibits it from being popularized. And I just haven't remembered or realized that it could still be popular. But if it isn't, I just think this is one of the reasons, because if you really, really take in what a white mirror day is, then you might have to trouble. You might have to trouble yourself about it. You don't have to, but you might, but you don't have to. You can grow right out of it. Give it some time. We'll stop there. There's more to read at resonanttruth.com. It's a great place to look up birthdays. And I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And am I, and we say, in Lakesh.